It's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been kind of cold and rainy there this last week. We got a little snow on Monday. We don't need to talk about that at all. Tuesday night, we got a very interesting thunderstorm in the middle of the night. Most people in my town slept through it, but they awoke with interesting dreams that they did not care to talk about to anybody. It was interesting weather. The lilacs are in bloom and the birch trees are leafing out and the dandelions are flowering as well, and the lilacs are so beautiful and so very, very sweet. The senior prom is coming up in 2 weeks, and the seniors have learned a lesson you can learn in no other way. The Benson boy talked to them over the Christmas break and told them that they shouldn't go with that old springtime in Paris theme and the Eiffel Tower and the Champs-Élysées and all those decorations that were painted years ago, that they should do something different, something interactive. And he mentioned holographs and karaoke, and they were sort of intrigued by that. And months went by, and he sort of went on to other things, and nothing happened with his brilliant ideas. And now they have to hustle to get something going in a couple of weeks. There are some very nice, bright people in the world whom you cannot rely upon. It's good to learn this sort of thing. Sons of Canute had their big spring cleaning here the other day, and all of the fraternal paraphernalia was spread out on Mr. Torvaldsen's front lawn, and those helmets with the horns and those cloaks and the shields and the spears and the swords and the plumes and all the rest of it laid out there, and these banners with ancient Norwegian runic writings on it that somebody has a key to somewhere, but they can't find it. But nonetheless, they carry them with pride, along with the Norwegian flag. There was a big junior high school girls' sleepover at the Nelson house. Mrs. Nelson is their Sunday school teacher, and they came over on Tuesday night, and they were talking and laughing up there until about 2 o'clock in the morning. Mr. Nelson trying to sleep, his wife lying snoring beside him. 13 girls up there in the attic, and they were laughing and laughing. They were saying swear words, and and they were getting girls to say swear words who never had said them before, and they were laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. Then they were almost asleep, and then the thunderstorm hit, and that woke them up, and then they were talking until 6 o'clock in the morning. He went up to tell them to shut up, and they were asleep finally. He'd been a whole night without sleep. He got dressed. It was like a hallucinatory experience. He was just reeling from fatigue. He walked down to the Chatterbox Cafe and sat down, and he ordered poached eggs with the sausage gravy on it and toast, and sat down there and drank some coffee. He was having visions of his father telling him that he had to enjoy his life, something his father never would have said when he was alive. And his old shop teacher, Mr. Griefy, was telling him that it was not important to make a flower scoop out of sheet metal, that the important thing is to find out who you are. Mr. Griefy would have died if he'd said anything of the sort. And that was Darlene saying that she was now going to leave town. She decided to leave town, which she's been saying for 13 years. And there was Pastor Liz, who was having her breakfast. She had had an interesting phone call, and she had been talking to Darlene about it, but she didn't want Mr. Nelson to hear about it. She had gotten a call from the highway patrolman who had stopped her on the road Easter night when she was driving back from a date with a real loser. And she'd had a couple of beers as comfort. And then, because she's Lutheran and she was brought up to be kind to losers, she agreed to have another date with the loser. And then she had a third beer to sort of cushion the shock of that. And she had three beers, and this highway patrolman stopped her. And he was sort of taken with her. And even though he knew without asking that she did not have her driver's license on her, and even though he knew that she had been drinking, he did not make her recite the alphabet backwards, and he did not make her walk the white line. And now he called her on Monday, and he asked her if she would go out with him. Well, she said, I'll have to check my calendar. Though her calendar was right there in front of her, and she had a lot of blank Friday nights, she wasn't sure what to do. Should you date a highway patrolman just because he'd been forgiving and not made things hard for you? She took this all up with Darlene until Mr. Nelson walked in with his visions and his fatigue and feeling crazed by weariness. He ate his poached eggs and he went for a walk. He went for a walk down around the ballpark and down by the old train depot. And then he heard the train whistle far, far away. You so seldom see a train coming through Lake Wobegon anymore. But here was the whistle, and then it was backing in, a freight train. It was backing in around the curve by the grain elevators. Boxcars coming slowly in. Such a long train, you couldn't see the engine. He stood there as it pulled up to a stop. The boxcars banging into each other, one after the other. And there was a boxcar just 20 feet away from him. He hadn't gotten any sleep the night before. He walked over to the door and he climbed up the ladder and he swung himself into the boxcar and he told himself that when the train started up, he'd jump out. But the train did start up and he didn't jump. And then it was going too fast for him to jump. And there was a steep incline there. He covered himself with some cardboard boxes. And on he went at high speed. He didn't know where he was going. And somehow he felt that this was something he had wanted to do and had never dared do all of his life. And now here he had done it. He felt like a king. He also felt scared. It took him to St. Paul. He saw the state capitol, the dome up there, and it pulled into the rail yards, and he hopped out. He had $1 on him, that's all. No billfold or anything. You don't necessarily need money to go to the Chatterbox Cafe if they know you and if you're a Lutheran. He had $1 to call his wife. She said, where have you gone? He said, I went to St. Paul. She said, but the car is still here. He said, well, I got a ride. She said, with who? He said, well, I'll tell you later. And then, thank goodness, the 3 minutes was up. He had no money at all. It was an interesting feeling for someone who's worried about this all of his adult life to walk around without a penny on you. He had told her he'd come home as soon as he could, and so he walked down to the entrance ramp to the freeway heading north, and he stood there with his thumb out, and a car picked him up fairly quickly. It was a young man, head shaved, goatee. His name was Jack, and he was talking a blue streak. He'd been driving up from Kansas City, and he started talking about guns and his favorite guns. And then he opened the glove compartment, and he had three of them right there. And he started talking about how easy it would be to rob a bank. Really, there's not much to it. And you could get away with a lot of money if you had somebody to drive the car for you, you know. Somebody to serve as a lookout. Well, it made Mr. Nelson nervous, and so when they pulled into a rest stop, he snuck out of the car while Jack was in there peeing, and he ran along a line of semi-trucks that were parked there, their engines idling, and he found one with somebody in it who was awake, and he rapped on the window. It was a woman who was driving. She rolled the window down. He said, listen, I'm in a really bad situation right now. I've been riding in a car with a guy who's got guns and who I think is going to rob a bank, and I just need to get away from here. Can you give me a lift? I'm going north up to Lake Wobegon. Oh, she said, I never heard of that, but sure, get in. He got in. Her name was Doreen, and she'd been an over-the-road truck driver for 35 years. She looked to be in her early 50s. She was not that bad looking. Gray hair pulled back in a ponytail and not all that bad, you know, a little extra weight, but you could run that off her and she would be, she'd be a contender. She said, I've got guns here, just so you know, so I hope that doesn't make you nervous. I carry. No, that's all right, he said. I trust you, he said. You're different. So she told him her whole life story and how she married this man and she couldn't tolerate him, and so she became a truck driver so she could stay away from home for long periods of time, and eventually he took up with another woman, and that was just fine by her, and now she was looking for another man. She looked at Mr. Nelson, and she said, you know, I'll get right to the point here. She said, there's no sense beating around the bush. She said, I like you a lot. I like you a lot. You're a good-looking man, and I'll bet I could find out all sorts of other better things about you, too. Now, we got a bunk back up here just behind this seat here. It's kind of a wide bunk. I don't know if you've ever slept in a truck before, but I'm in no hurry. If you've got the time, honey. He said, well, I'm married, you know. I'm married. Well, she said, you still got to have fun even though you're married. Oh, he said, I can't. I think you better let me off up here. She'd come to the state highway that runs up towards Lake Wobegon. She let him out there, and he had 12 miles he had to walk. But it was just the afternoon. It was kind of sunny and warm out. He hitchhiked, and he was picked up by the first car that was headed north. It was driven by a highway patrolman who was on his way up to Lake Wobegon. Highway patrolman said, now, do you know a Pastor Liz up in... Well, yeah, she's my pastor. She's the Lutheran pastor. Oh, yeah, well, I met her. She seemed really nice. She's very nice, sure. Does she have a boyfriend? Not that I know of. I don't think so. Well, she's got a wonderful smile. I was going to ask her if she'd like to go out. Do you think that's a good idea? Mr. Nelson somehow couldn't imagine that woman in the vestments on Sunday who gave the sermon on doubt going out dancing and drinking. And then it dawned on him. This highway patrolman was doing surveillance. He was on her trail. He was going to investigate her and arrest her. And now he thought of those plants she has in her basement under the grow light. They came to Lake Wobegon, and he gave the highway patrolman the wrong directions and sent him out into the country to look for Pastor Liz. And he slipped over to the church and ran down the stairs and down to the office. And he said, Pastor, he said, I just got to tell you this real quick, and don't ask me too many questions, but there's a highway patrolman who is on your trail, and I think it has to do with those plants that you have growing in your basement. Now, I don't care what you grow. And she said, they're tomatoes. He said, I don't care what they are. I don't care what they are. It's your business. Whatever you want to smoke is fine with me. But just, I think you better do something about those plants. I just think this would be a terrible situation. No, she said, they're tomatoes. They're tomatoes. Which way did that patrolman go? Tell me. He was confused, Mr. Nelson. He was without sleep for 24 hours. He walked down the street, and here came two young men carrying the Eiffel Tower. Here came two young men carrying big Perrier umbrellas and a big picture of the Champs-Élysées. And here came three men wearing shields and swords and big banners that said "Fünf," or they may have said "Aioli" or something. There they all were. What a town. Spring. It's a crazy time. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.